I'd like to say I appreciate that song, Sister Betty. God surely is. He's the light of my life. He's my hope this morning. Appreciate everything Jesus has done for us. Desire your prayers as we look into the Word for a little while. When I woke up this morning, and quite frankly, I'm always anxious to Sunday morning to be in service with the saints, with the congregation. But as I was getting ready, the fellow over in France came to my mind, said he was maybe a younger man, wasn't very old, but he took his life. He left a notice and said that he was tired of all the buttoning and unbuttoning that life has. Seemed like, you know, as you get older, maybe every day a new day, you got to get up and do the same things over again, get ready for the day. And I thought of the scripture that says, "Be not weary in well doing, for you shall reap if you faint not." Sometimes it's hard to be strong, isn't it? Sometimes life can be such a press that it seems like it gets us down and makes us weary. But I know that if we'll just be faithful to do what God is wanting us to do, that He's going to bless us. He is going to bless us. I appreciate everyone here this morning. I'd like to read a scripture. It's found in the 16th chapter of Luke. Jesus comments here. I'd like to read 13 verses, if I could. Luke 16:1 said, "There was a certain rich man which had a steward. And the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said unto himself, What shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord debtors unto him, and said unto the first, How much owest thou unto me, unto my Lord? And he said, An 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, Take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. Then said he to another, And how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, Take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of righteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." I'd like to speak on the subject of accountability this morning, the help of the Lord. Being made accountable of the goods that God has given us. We all might be a little surprised to know that for any one of us, There's probably a number of other people that point to you as an example or as someone that they would like to be. It is pretty sure, we're pretty sure that every one of us have an impact on someone else's life. So how we conduct ourselves and how we handle ourselves, and I remember one Sunday morning I stood before this congregation and I said, when you have the opportunity, you go out and you testify to those that are out there around you that are in the world, and if necessary, use words. I think it's important that we be the example that God is calling us to be. But in doing so, He's given us responsibility. It seems like we're living in a day and time when people don't want to accept responsibility. As you grow, as we get, just in natural life, as we get older, and we grow into things and responsibilities of families and parents and husbands and wives over with children and grandchildren and all that, we have responsibility. We have things that God is requiring us to be good stewards over those things. I want us to think a little bit this morning. I bring it down a little close to us, maybe right where we live. And I want you to consider some thoughts that seem like the Lord has laid on our hearts. He said, give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Accountability is being faithful to your soul and to God. We must be faithful to those two things. If I'm faithful to God, when I say that, I mean I'm faithful to His Word, to all that I know and understand, to what I am required as my understanding and as light comes upon my pathway. I must be faithful to that because light brings responsibility. When I have understanding and the Lord has revealed something, then I have a responsibility to measure to that or to meet that. Because there's one thing for sure, Jesus said every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. We will meet it someday. But I'm talking more this morning about us handling the responsibility of our accountability today in our daily walk of life. So again, I say accountability is being faithful to your soul and to God, to be an example in virtue and humility. This is where it gets a little hard for us sometimes. Accountability means that I must make myself accountable to others. Accountable to others. Every one of us in here, I feel sure, has someone that they can talk to, I hope you do. Someone that you have confidence in. Someone that you can share maybe even your innermost secrets. Because we do need someone to talk to. It's important of utmost that we can talk to God. And we can tell Him all of our needs and burdens. But folks, as I've said here before, the secret to a man is another man. We need each other. And we need to be able to express ourselves to one another in confidence, in safety, in order. Some people, they just need to talk. You need to talk to someone. You need to express yourself to someone. And hopefully we all have a few, or one or two anyway, of selected people that we can trust, that are loyal friends, who we feel that we could just tell them what's on our mind. I don't even remember how many times I've had people, even just recently, when they open up to me sometimes in private conversations. I've heard this many times. I've never told this to anyone else before. I've never said this to anyone else before. I don't know what makes people want to open up, but I hope it's a trust issue. I hope that it's because there's a confidence there and there's a need to be able to express ourselves. As humans, we have a need to be able to express ourselves. And I hope every one of us can make ourselves accountable to one another in such a way that when someone looks to us and someone expresses their confidence in us, that we will be able to hear and receive and keep it in that trust, in that confidentiality that they meant when they expressed it to us. That's very important, isn't it? It comes down a little bit close to us when I speak of accountability, when we give other people the right. Now, you bear with us here. You may not be able to accept everything that I have to say, but I believe it's Bible-based. It's Bible scripturally founded. We need to be able to have someone that we can give them the right to question us, to examine us, to maybe give an appraisal of our motives in what we're doing or what we're about to do or what we're thinking about doing. We want to be able to give others the right to know what our choices are, our feelings. And when we do that, we're hoping that we'll get wise counsel. Now let me give you something to add to your prayers if it's not already there. Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, give me understanding that when someone that is dear to me expresses themselves in the secret places of their lives, that you'll give me the wisdom and the understanding to know how to be a friend and know how to give them the proper counsel that will help them along life's way. We're here to help one another. We're here to help one another. And when someone makes a mistake, and we all do, we're not here to rub it in. We're not here to rub it in people's faces, folks. We're here to help one another. Accountability. I also want us to remember that there's many people that just love to be your critic. Stay away from them. I'm not talking about critics here. I'm talking about loyal, trusted friends. Someone, a brother, a sister, that you can trust, that you can go to, and that you can express your deepest needs, and knowing that you got confidence in them, that maybe you feel they've got some wisdom and some understanding, can help us along life's way. I believe we all need that. I believe we all need it. Accountability to God is inescapable. And it's inevitable that we're all going to give an account of ourselves to God. As I just said, every knee shall bow. The scriptures also teach, and I'll give you the scripture, it's Hebrews 13 and 17, accountability to spiritual leaders is commanded by God, but it is meant to be profitable. It says to obey them that have the rule over you as ones that watch for your souls and have a care for your souls. That's what that scripture says. Accountability. Accountability to one another. I know most of us, probably all of us, are very private people. We're very private people. Our homes and what we do in our homes is our sanctuary. That's the place that where we deal with life's problems, we deal with our problems, we deal with children, we deal with financial issues and situations. We deal with all of those kind of things in our home, and it's our private sanctuary. And it's of great importance to every one of us to have that place, that sanctuary, where things are private. And we can keep them among ourselves. But I'm expressing and I'm talking this morning about those things that you and I may come up against in life. those experiences that we may have along life's way that we just don't understand exactly. We're just looking for a little bit of encouragement. We're looking for a little bit of help. We're looking for a little bit of understanding. And all along, I'm looking for grace from God to be able to help me through those places. I believe that every one of us that are here this morning have a desire to make heaven. And we need each other to do it. We need each other. I told my brother Clint this morning, I was sitting there in Sunday school, looking across the way and looking at him sitting there, and I sat there and said, "Thank you, Lord, for sending that family and that brother my way. Thank you, Lord. He's been a real help, and he's been there for me when I needed him to be there, and I appreciate it." Because we do, the song says, we need each other, brethren, don't we? It doesn't matter how old you are. Folks, there's no limits to what you and I can attain if we'll allow God to have His way and work in our hearts and work in our lives. I want to give you some reminders of those in the Bible, of those that were accountable to one another. Remember Lot. He was accountable to Abraham. Lot was the nephew of Abraham, and he was still accountable to him. Abraham made intercession for Lot when he saw the condition of Sodom and Gomorrah. But he was accountable to Abraham. Joseph. Y'all remember Joseph and how he was sold into Egypt, into bondage? He was accountable to Potiphar. He lived in Potiphar's house, and he had to conduct himself in such a way that it would please Potiphar, or it'd get him in a lot of trouble. And he did get in a lot of trouble because he was falsely accused, but he was still accountable. And he was made accountable when he got in trouble with his wife. Saul, King Saul, he was accountable to Samuel. He was accountable to the prophet Samuel. And y'all know the story about Saul and the things that he did, and how Samuel came to him and pressed upon him and told him the word of God and what God's will and purpose was for him, and Samuel denying some things or pressing on and making sacrifice that he shouldn't have made. But yet, nevertheless, now we're all accountable to God, but I want you to understand that I want to bring it down to us as people. So Saul was accountable to Samuel. David, King David, he had a heart after God's own heart. We probably all have one of those here this morning. We probably, everyone, have a heart after God. I hope we do. I hope we love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength today. But David, even though he had a heart after God, he was still accountable to Nathan, wasn't he? When he went out there and he did that horrible thing and taking the man's wife and sending the man out to die and those kind of things, Nathan came. God sent Nathan and made David accountable to the prophet because of what he had done. The Bible teaches us that Christ Himself was in marked submission to the Father. Christ knew what His purpose was here. He knew what He came to do. He had left the side of His Father in heaven and came here, but He still, in the whole time that He was here on earth, stayed in marked submission to the Father. So He was subject to the Father, wasn't He? Timothy. We read the writings of the Apostle Paul, and we see that Timothy, "Thou therefore, my son," Paul said, "be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus." Timothy was in subjection, or he was accountable to Paul. Paul was the old man. Paul was the one that God had called and set him up to be over the churches. He was an apostle of the apostles. And he went around doing the work of God and the will of God. And these folks that came to him, and the Lord began to use them and bless him, and Paul began to see their gifts and the abilities and what God is wanting to do, they were still in marked submission to Paul. We're all accountable to someone, aren't we? The 12 disciples, they were the ones that went out to preach the gospel out to all the world. But yet they were still in submission, or they were still accountable to Jesus. When they went out and they did those things, they come back. Who did they come back to? They came back to Jesus and said, "The devils are even subject unto us, and we did this in your name, and we did, and God delivered them into our hands." And Jesus said, "Don't rejoice in that, but rejoice because your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." But nevertheless, they were accountable. I want to look at something here in 2 Corinthians, 4th chapter. I'm going to stay with accountability. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, and I want to read verses 6 and 7. "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels." Who'd that be? That'd be us, wouldn't it? We're just earthen pitchers, if you will. We're just but dust. One of these days, these old bodies will crumble back and go back to the dust from which it came. But we have a treasure this morning in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now, folks, when it comes down to making myself accountable to you and accountable to God, there must be something working within this old earthen vessel in order for me to be successful, to be a blessing to you, to be a help to you, to be there for you in your time of need. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. The excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now I want to talk about us for just a minute. Anybody here, everybody here like to be in control of your life? You like to be in control of your situations? We do. It's human nature. I want to be in control of things. Why do I want to be in control? Why do the people that are out there in business, why do they want to be the big CEOs and the heads of corporations? Why do the people in government want to get up to the highest places that they can get? I want to tell you. They want to be in control because control brings power. Control brings power. What did he say? We have this treasure in earthen vessels. The excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. The more control, now you can take this home with you, or you can leave it here. The more control of my life, of self, that I give up, the more power that I will have with God. Folks, it just works that way. The more control of Larry, the more control of the way that I think things ought to be done, the way that I think things ought to be worked out, the more control of myself that I give to God, the more that I give up, the more power that I'll have with God. Because he said right here, the power may be of God and not of us. But we want to control things. I kind of biting my tongue there in the Sunday school lesson this morning talking about prayer. Folks, we need to be a people of prayer. We need to be a people like the woman there in the 18th chapter of Luke, where it said that Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to faint. And she came to that judge. He didn't fear God. He didn't fear man. But she kept coming and coming and coming till she finally got what she needed. We need to be importuners this morning. When we pray for folks at our altars, when we're asking God to save our loved ones, when we're asking God to do anything, folks, there's got to be some power working within us. And I believe with all my heart this morning, as we ask God for things and looking to God for the needs that we have in our life, that God's looking on my heart and saying, how much are you willing to give up for me? Jesus said something about being accountable, being good stewards. What did Paul say in Ephesians 3 and 20? Oh, I love that verse. We all love that verse. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we're able to ask or think. But let's don't stop there. Paul said, according to the power that worketh within us. Folks, when you and I become accountable to one another and accountable before God, folks, it's going to mean that we're going to have to get rid of self. We're going to have to die to self and die in those places where I'm going to keep my hand on that because I want to be in control of what happens with that situation. But the more control that I give up of myself, the more power that I'm going to have with God. He said in the 12th chapter of Romans, for us not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. Is it easy for you to be humble? Is it easy for you to stay humble? He went on after he said that and he began to talk about the gifts that are given in the body, given by the grace of God, given according to ability and all those things. Folks, you and I, we have a responsibility here. It isn't just to come and sit in the pews, but we have a responsibility to one another. We have a responsibility to a lost world. We have a responsibility to our lost families. And everyone around us, we have a responsibility. Every one of us, every one of you here this morning is unique in your own way. Right this very moment, as you're listening to this little message this morning, every one of you have thoughts, and they're probably all different. Our thoughts, our minds are going many different directions right now. We're all unique. And God, the Bible said, God sets members in the body as it pleases Him. He set you and I in the body, not to sit around on our laurels, not to just try to make ourselves happy and let everybody else do what they got to do, but we're accountable, we're responsible to one another. We have a duty to do that. We have something, man has something, that we call ego. Some people are egotistical. They kind of think pretty highly of themselves. They kind of have an exalted opinion of themselves. Lord, help us. We cannot be a help to someone else if we have that kind of an opinion. If we have that kind of an opinion of ourselves. I want us to consider the thought of esteem this morning. Some folks have a very high esteem. I think the Lord wants you and I to have a very high esteem. I don't think He wants you and I to go around and feeling like we're the dust of the earth and we're crumbs and bums and all those. I think He wants us to have a high esteem. He wants us to feel good about who we are in Christ. Because the power is not in the earthen vessels. But the power is of God and not of me, Paul said. I don't believe the Lord wants us to go around with a low esteem of ourselves. Because that brings on self-pity, self-love, and all the other self things that cause discouragement, causes disappointment, causes depression. I don't believe the Lord wants us to go around like that. He wants us to have a high esteem of ourselves. But don't think more highly of yourself than you do others. He said, prefer others before yourselves. And that's the way the Lord wants us to work at this thing. In being in subjection one to another. Was it Peter said in 1 Peter 5:5, he said every one of us should be in subjection one to another. Wait a minute now. You mean the preacher's going to be subjection to someone else? Absolutely. Absolutely. The preacher is just as human as anybody else is. He's just as subject to fail as anyone else is. But by the grace of God, and we all need that grace here this morning. Peter said, be subject one to another. Submission is a hard thing for us to do. Being in submission to something is hard to do. That means that I cast away my will, my control. I give up my control so that God can have control of my life. That's what I want, folks. I want God to have control of my life. I want Him to be able to do what He wants to do with me. Oh, I've got ideas of what I think that I ought to do, or maybe what I feel like He thinks I want. But God knows what He wants to do. I admit, as I said, I'm human. I've already been there in my mind to the place. I'm an old man now. There ain't a whole lot more that I can do. The Lord's about done with me. I don't know what the Lord wants to do. My place is to take care of myself. Try to keep my body healthy. And just be the blessing that the Lord is requiring us to be. Because I believe we all need each other. I believe we're all important here. We're integrated here. I absolutely, and I know the devil's going to hear this too, but I absolutely love and enjoy and am blessed what God has been doing here in this place with this little congregation. I appreciate it from the depths of my heart. I appreciate every one of you. And it's going to take every one of us being on our guard, being watchful, prayerful, and careful that we not allow the enemy to enter in at any secret place of our lives. Because that's what he'll do. He'll come into the secret places of your life in order to eventually try to bring the whole down. We don't want that to happen, folks. So that's probably the main crux of my burden this morning. That we are accountable, not just to God, but to one another. That we have a safe haven to where people can talk to us. And you know, sometimes people just want to talk. You don't have to say anything. You don't have to give any counsel at all. They just need to talk. There's only so many. How many people can you trust out in the world today? There's only so many people that we can trust, folks. There's only so many people we can go to, and it's found in the family of God. And I thank God for His family today. Now, as I talk about uniqueness among us, and I talk about power, I want us to consider one other electrical word. Potential. Potential. Every one of you. You can say, oh, well, I'm too old and there's nothing. Every one of us, every one of you this morning, I'm going to put this on you, have the potential to do something great for God. I don't know what it is. He does. He said, give an account of yourself. Folks, Lord help us here this morning not to sit back on our knees and say, well, you know, I'm saved and everything's going good for me and that's enough. That's not enough. He's called you and He wants to qualify you to work for Him. He wants to give you a gift. He wants to be able to trust you with something that He has precious. Every one of you have the potential to be someone great in the kingdom of God. Now you say, Brother Lee, you're talking about being great. What did Jesus say? If any of you be great in the kingdom of God, what did He say? You become as a little child Who's the greatest in the kingdom? That one that just got saved 15 minutes ago. They're the greatest in the kingdom of God. You see, that way there are no big eyes and little... Well, I've been saved for 40 years. Jesus said that little child is the greatest in the kingdom of God. You see how Jesus looks on things? You see what He puts value on? Lord, help you and I to put the value on the places that God puts His value on, that we'll stay humble and low and pliable in His hands and be made accountable to His will and purpose in our lives, whatever it is that He wants us to do. We all have potential. We have the potential. Lord, help us to use it in a way that will please God. Accountability. All right. I'm wearing myself out here this morning. I want to give you, by the help of the Lord, four qualities of accountability. Qualities. We know what qualities are. This is what makes us have the ability to be accountable for who we are. The first one is vulnerability. Being vulnerable. How vulnerable are you this morning? Was Jesus vulnerable? Did He make Himself vulnerable when He allowed them to take Him to that cross and hang Him up there between heaven and earth with His arms wide open, nailed? He made Himself pretty vulnerable when He submitted to the soldiers that come and got Him in the garden and took Him and scourged Him and the things that He did. When I say being made vulnerable, I'm talking about being capable of being wounded. Fences are going to come, folks. Hurts are going to come. Make yourself vulnerable. You say, Brother Larry, that's hard to do. And I'm not telling you it's easy, but when I give up my control, then God's power is going to be able to work in me. Capable of being wounded. Being willing for someone to show you where you're wrong. Please don't tell me that. I don't like the idea of being wrong. Well, that may be what you think, but it's not what I think. Folks, it means humility in submitting to the fact that you're wrong, whatever it might be. And I'll tell you that I want to take that a little deeper. Even admitting that you're wrong before you're even confronted about it. Wow. That's vulnerability, folks. Making yourself vulnerable. When I make myself vulnerable, that means that I make myself, or that I am sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You see, when I can get down to that place and where I'm willing to admit wrong, I'm willing to accept it, that means that I am sensitive to the dealings of the Holy Spirit that will do nothing but lead me and guide me into truth. I can trust that, can I? Vulnerability is a trust issue. I'll give you that. All of these are. Trust issue. Vulnerability. It's a quality of being accountable to one another. The next one is availability. Availability. Being accessible. Being teachable. Are you teachable? What did He say about the wisdom that cometh down from above first? Teachable. Being teachable. Or being touchable. I'm sorry. Accessible. Able to be interrupted. I'm sorry, I just don't have time right now. Could you come back later? Folks, when someone is in distress, whatever you're doing It will never be convenient for you at the time of their distress. I've never been called on, and I've done multiple numbers of funerals, and I've never been called on to do a one where it was at a good time for me. Lord, help us today. Accountability to one another. Able to be interrupted. What are you doing? I'll call back later when you're not. No, if you need to talk, talk now. If you're distressed, you have a problem, and you need someone to talk to, you got an ear. I'll give it to you right now. I'm not saying that there may be extenuating circumstances with that, if somebody's on a job and they're in a business meeting or whatever, but I'm talking about making ourselves available for others, able to be interrupted. In order to do that, we're going to have a servant heart. I'm here to be your servant. Isn't that what Jesus said? When He knelt down before those disciples and washed their feet, He came to be the servant. That's what a minister is. He's a servant. That's what you are. Because we're all kings and priests. We come to be servants to one another. Being accountable to one another. The third one is teachability. Being teachable. Willingness to learn. Quick to hear and respond at reproof. Oh, boy, those go so hard against the flesh. Willingness to learn and quick to hear and respond to reproof. Being open to counsel. You know, sometimes we think, well, I'm open, whatever you have to say. And someone says something and they say, well, I don't believe that. That's your opinion. I got my own opinions. Folks, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when I give up my control, that the power of Christ can work in me, that He can work in me to make me a vessel that will be a blessing to other vessels. A blessing to other people. To be there for them in their time of need. To be accountable one to another. I believe you got the message this morning. I believe you got it. Lord, help us to be willing to be accountable. We're going to have to open the door. We're going to have to do it. And I'm not going to tell you, stand here and tell you it's going to come natural. I'm telling you it's something that it's going to take the power of the Holy Ghost to do in our hearts. That we're going to be able to meet this place in our lives, in our walk with the Lord. The last one is honesty. I believe in honesty this morning. I believe in it even more so today than I did 2 years ago. When I see the direction that our world is going, our country is going, our neighbors are going, our police are going. All those, when I see the direction of the lack of integrity that is in our world today, folks, in order for us to make ourselves accountable to one another, we've got to be honest. If someone has something that they want to divulge to you, and it's very serious and it's very important to them that it stay private and that it only be taken up in your prayer life, be honest with them. Can you handle it or can you not? If you can't handle it, don't listen to it. Is that good advice? If you can't handle it and keep it between them and you and God, don't listen to it. Tell them, I'm sorry, sister or brother, I can't handle that. I don't think I can handle it. Things are going on in my life. Things are in a turmoil. Whatever it might be, I can't. Be honest in your dealings with others. Be honest. Honesty means being committed to the truth regardless of how much it hurts. Truth hurts. Jesus said the truth will set you free, but sometimes truth hurts. Someone comes up to you and lays their hand on your shoulder and says, "Brother, I sure do appreciate you. I love you, brother, and I thank God for you, but I got a little something here that I need to say to you." Don't just go off on them, folks. Listen to them. It may be that the Lord has sent that to you to see how humble that you are, to see how willing that you are, to see how teachable that you are, to see how honest that you really are. Honesty is the willingness to admit the truth, no matter how difficult or how humiliating the admission might be. Folks, there's been some people taken to the point where the enemy has tempted them to take their own lives because they've allowed him to take advantage of them. That's never the answer to any problem. But folks, I want to say this morning that we're all human. And except by the grace of God, folks, only we are going to make it. And the enemy will come along. He knows the places that he can trip us up. He knows the places that he can bring us down. Lord, help us to be on our guard, to be watchful, prayerful, and careful. Yes, unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all things, according to the power. We need some power, don't we, this morning? Folks, we're living in such a desperate time. We need more power than we've ever needed with God. And I believe that power is only going to come through my consecration, through my humility, and my willingness to give an account to Him in every area and every part of my life. That's where the power is going to come. Lord, help us to hate everything that is dishonest or false. Now you tell me if this statement is right. If only God knows what I'm doing, I tend to make excuses for myself. But if another person is in the know, my behavior tends to improve a little bit. Something about when another person knows what I'm doing, where I've been, how I've conducted myself. Well, God knows, but see, God's not here right now. He's here all the time, isn't He? Let me say it again. If only God knows what I'm doing, I tend to make excuses for myself. If another person is in the know, my behavior tends to improve quite a bit. Oh, I don't want them thinking bad about me. And I'm talking about our activities. Maybe the temptations that we're tempted with. Our finances. Oh, that's private. Yes, it is. But sometimes we need a little help along those lines too. I'm not a financial wizard. But there are some people that experience things in life and been able to get through and handle it pretty well. And maybe they can give me some counsel and some understanding. And my fleshly desires. Lord, you know what my weaknesses are. Yes, you do, Lord. You know the things that I'm tempted with, Lord. Help me, Lord. These are pretty hard questions. I know. I know they're hard questions. But I'm talking about accountability here this morning. You see, fact of it is, the truth of it is, we try to get away with things sometimes when we don't think anybody else knows about it. David did. He's just one example. He tried to get away with something, but God caught him, didn't He? And made him accountable to the prophet Nathan. I'd like to read, and I'm about finished, Romans the 14th chapter. Verse 7, none of us liveth to himself. No man dieth to himself. That pretty much sums up my little burden this morning, doesn't it? None of us liveth to himself. and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. We're all going to give an account of ourselves. I don't want to wait. Personally, I don't want to wait till the judgment day to try to get things together. You know, I've seen more than my share of folks that have come down to die trying to get their house in order. I've seen my share of folks that have laid in suffering, going through hard and difficult places, trying to get their house in order. Why would we wait and take a chance that we might not even have that opportunity? Not everybody has that opportunity. Someone that needs to get their house in order to where they can be accountable and acceptable to God. When God allows them to come to those kind of places, I call that nothing but mercy. That's all that is. That's nothing but mercy. When God allows someone that He's talked to, that He's revealed things to, that He showed them places in their lives, showed them needs and things that they needed to do, and they refused to do it, that's only mercy that God would give them one more opportunity, isn't it? Before He take them or call them from this world. May the Lord help us today. It says in Luke 12 and 2, He said, there's nothing that is covered that shall not be opened. That we can't cover anything. We can't hide anything from God. Folks, I just believe with all my heart this morning that if we'll be honest, that we'll make ourselves accountable to one another and especially God. God's going to bless us. I don't have to remind you of Achan, do I? One man in the camp. And all those people lost their lives and they couldn't even take the little city of Ai because something was covered and something was hid. But he ended up having to give an account of himself, didn't he? But it cost him. It cost him his life. It cost his family their life. God's serious about His Word this morning. He's serious about how we walk before Him, how we live, and how we conduct ourselves, our activities, where we go, what we say, what we do. He's serious about those things, folks. And every one of us is going to give an account, just as Achan did. It cost him his life. May God help us this morning. I appreciate this congregation. I can't say enough. I don't even have the proper words to say how I really feel. I appreciate what God is doing and blessing us here. I really do. I appreciate every one of you. And I desire your prayers as you think of me, that you'll pray for me. I'm challenged as I see the folks drive for many miles to be here in services. I'm challenged that God will give me something. And I know Brother Clint is too. That God will give us something to challenge you. To challenge you. You know, I'm pretty sure, I haven't done it in a while, but I'm pretty sure I could get up here and tickle your feet a little bit and preach a nice lovey-dovey message. I'm pretty sure I can do that because they're in here. But this is a message of love this morning. This is a message of love. I don't see how we can deepen down and draw closer to the Lord unless we're challenged by His Word. We've got to be challenged. And some of you are probably way ahead of me. So you pray for me that I'll catch up. But folks, I'm challenged. I'm challenged this morning that God wants me to break this earthen vessel and give my control over to Him, that the power that I have will be of God. My power won't do you any good. When I pray for you, when you come to our altars, folks, our power won't do it. The devil just laugh and mock at us. But folks, the power of God is what we need. It's what we rely on. It's what we depend on. So may the Lord help us all to do whatever it is. You have the potential. You're the one that's been called and set in the body as it pleases Him. Whatever it is that He wants you to do. Whatever it is that He wants me to do, Lord, help me to humble my heart, empty of myself. I remember praying with a young man years ago. He said, I want more of God. And I said, well, then start emptying out the things that don't belong there and make room for Him. That's what we got to do, isn't it? Sometimes we gather stuff and get clutters. Clutter up our home. Clutter up our hearts. Just empty it out. He looked at me. I'll never forget the look on his face. I don't know why it was so astounding to him. He said, boy, you're a wise man. I said, that's not all that much wisdom. You want more of God? Make room for Him. Open up your heart. Make room for Him. And allow Him in your heart and life. I'll tell you what. You invite Him in, He'll come. He'll come when you meet the conditions. Pray for me that I'll be faithful. Amen.